I wanted to start by asking a bit about how Moin first actually came to be. How did you guys kind of initially find each other, and what was your original vision and impetus for making music together?
Yeah, Tom and I, as you say, Tom and I had an electronic act called Rame, which is kind of still, it's dormant, it's not dead, it's still around. Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded anything. So we were doing that project, and through the course of that project we needed we wanted to experiment with recording acoustic instruments. Drums was one of the first things we wanted to mess around with. And Valentina was actually playing. We lived in a warehouse in East London, in Hackney Wick, and Valentina was playing in one of the flats, like doing a little showcase show thing, so we met a very long time ago. This must be like 12, 13 years ago, and for a period of time, Valentina was doing kind of drum sessions for us. We would basically record her in a studio for a small period of time, and then obviously take those away and work with them in a slightly more abstract way. And then the Moin project was originally something that was just a complete side project around the Rame period, just something we wanted to mess around with. really not taken very seriously or given any consideration. And then Rame just got so, the creative process for Rame just got so painful, and we just got so sort of like backed into a corner, like in a cul-de-sac, that we were just like, one day we were just like, oh, why don't we just try this project again? And literally, we basically, usually with Rame, we would take years and years even to make one track. Like, it was the most painful, protracted experience of making music. And with Moin, we were just like, well, let's just make a record in a week, which is completely weird, completely at odds for us. But we ended up kind of doing it. And then weirdly, surreptitiously, Nick, who runs 8093 and is our manager too, he didn't know Nick, and he got in touch with us a week after we'd done that, completely out of the blue, saying, would you ever consider reenacting this Moin project? So it was all completely serendipitous, and here we are, like, three albums later.
Oh, that's so cool. You were saying there, Joe, about how you found the process quite slow when you were writing with Tom under Rame, and I guess like forcing yourselves under the Moin project to try bang it out. Do you think like that you kind of needed to just push yourself and have another person like thrown into the mix to kind of make that change?
Yeah, I think all these things. I think we were like actually at a point where, you know, being completely, having a different work process and, you know, having another person within that mix, like all these things really re-energized us, you know, and we just desperately needed it at the time because, you know, we're obsessed with music. We're never going to stop making music. We're never going to stop being musicians or being involved with music. But obviously, you know, over periods of time, you come to different points in your life and how you relate to it. So it was, yeah, it was absolutely needed, and it was a breath of fresh air.
Oh, that's so lovely. We're here, of course, to kind of talk a little bit about your latest EP, Belly Up, which came out in May. It's such an incredible body of work, and I feel like it's such a perfect flow on and follow on from your last record, You Never End. But I guess before we get into talking about the EP specifically, I wanted to ask a bit more about your general process and the way you work together. Your sound has this kind of brilliant, layered, organized chaos to it, where it becomes almost like this musical collage of sampling, electronic manipulation, and rock. For you guys, where do you kind of start as a band when composing a song? Are you quite structured and formulaic, or is it more fluid in your approach?
I mean, it's a very studio-based project. We've always started with drums, predominantly, with Valentina's drums, and being in a studio and getting her to recording different ideas and different approaches. And then it's often, or, you know, the process has shifted a little bit, but, you know, it's often Joe and I back in the studio trying out, you know, doing edits and, you know, putting things in, seeing what sticks.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the reason why these records sound like they do, is because the process is not the same as a traditional band. We're not getting, most of the time, we're not getting in a room and jamming. Never to say never, and it does happen, and, you know, there's lots of great stuff that comes out of that. But the process that Tom just described is one of the reasons why it all sounds a little bit off-kilter or a little bit different from a traditional band. And I guess that's what we're kind of interested in, really, is totally. The gaps in between, you know.
Yeah, no, it makes for something so interesting, and it stands out in the coolest way. Like, I'm so obsessed with it. I don't even know how to even, like, put words to describe it. But, yeah, I guess it makes sense that it's very unconventional in the process as well. I did want to also ask about sampling, because it is quite a big part of your work. And I feel like it can come across either, like, as these textures and fragments that serve a purpose that's more instrumental, but other times it's more like filling the role of a vocalist. Are there any stories you can share from sourcing samples, and is there any kind of particular thought process or method for incorporating them?
I mean, the first two records, you know, probably predominantly had much more of a sample. You know, on the last record, we wanted to push ourselves and move away and work with featured artists. On the vocal side, it was fascinating to try and find some of the people, you know, some samples that had come from older sort of spoken word or punk poetry things that, yeah, trying to find these people to get approval was quite interesting journeys on the phone with people in LA that was still punks or whatever, like trying to see if you could get them. If they were cool with it. And I mean, I think Lynn Tillman was one of the more interesting ones. She's, I don't know if you know her, she's a writer who did the book Wild Fox and Haunted Houses and many other things, but she was super cool. Totally. And was like, loved the record, like the track, and was like, oh, I'll do more things. And then, yeah, that was a very nice like connection there. Yeah, it's quite a journey trying to find people from old records and where they might be, whether they're still alive.
I guess that leads on really nicely to my next question, though, because as you say, these more recent work of yours is kind of more collaborative with friends and people around you. And on this latest EP, Belly Up, you've collaborated again with Sophia Almeria as well as with Ben Vince. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about those collaborations specifically. This is not the first time you've worked with Sophia. You worked with her on your latest, your last LP, You Never End. And I think Lift You is such a fabulous track that you guys did together. It's, I think, my favourite of your collaboration together. But with that process, I'm curious to know, like, when working with her, is the process quite collaborative, or is there a specific direction for the lyrics? Can you tell me a bit more about that?
I mean, Sophia's an amazing writer and artist and filmmaker that I think lyrically and all that, it's like, that's all over to her. We admire her her writings. And so the first collaboration we kind of did with her, well, I think the Lift You came out of was, you know, her recording. She was very busy. She recorded with somebody else, actually did the recording of her voice because she couldn't be with us. And she recorded a few different variations of poems that was in her, some of which were in her book Sad Sack. But they were, you know, they were adapted for the purpose for us. And it was kind of serendipitous how it fitted in with the music and that guitar piece and the drums that we sort of had been floating around a while but didn't have a home. And then, yeah, it was this sort of beautiful synergy that just kind of came together. And it was just Joe and I think Joe put a particular part of the, you know, her poem on over this, you know, demo that we had, and we were suddenly just like, oh wow, this has become more than some of its parts. Yeah, that was the kind of basis of that track.
With Ben Vince working on C and I'm Really Flagging or I Trusted You, I feel like that kind of, I don't know how else to describe it other than unsettling quality that sometimes comes through in your sound was amplified by Vince's experimental saxophone. And I think it's so sick. I love hearing like woodwind and classical instruments in alternative music. I think it's such an awesome crossover. What was the process like working with him on these tracks for this EP?
Well, I think Ben's a good example of actually of being in contact because of the London musical community. We've met Ben at times in different places over the last few years, and at one point I think we just decided, with no real there was no real agenda. I think we just decided to do a session with him. So we were like, let's just go. We always use this particular small studio in London. Shout out Hackney Road Studios.
Shout out.
So we were just like, let's go and do a session together and just see what happens. And by a session together, I kind of mean Ben really just going into the studio and us giving him some direction and putting some stuff down. So really, in terms of the what came out, it was all him, really. There was no, we had no sophisticated saxophone direction, really. It was just Ben doing his thing. And then, you know, just as we do in many instances, it's about at some point revisiting that recording and ultimately kind of sampling it, really, taking a fragment of it, taking a part of it, and juxtaposing that with other things that are happening within the track that you're using. And like you say, like, Ben's saxophone work is full of life. It's kind of complex. It's like, it's definitely got a certain energy to it. And so when transplanting into a couple of pieces, it just, you know, makes things fly. So yeah, it was really, really fun to work with, actually. And as you say, yeah, not necessarily an instrument we've worked with before.
I did also want to talk about your live shows a little. I was telling Joe before that I saw you guys play at the Night Cat in Melbourne like a month or so ago, and it was such a cool show. And like, that space in particular, I think, is so sick. And particularly for, I don't know how you guys would look on stage in, I don't know, a traditional gig environment, but I think like the all around audience was really cool because you guys all face into each other, and it was cool to kind of see you guys interact and communicate very telepathically on stage. But I guess a highlight for me was, for example, seeing Lift You live, and I think it really showcased like the way you build on each element of a song. How do you kind of go about transferring your music to a live performance? Is there any particular approach there?
I mean, we've had to learn a lot of ways. Like, you know, as we talked about earlier, it's a very studio-based project predominantly. So we kind of reverse think, how do we actually do, you know, there might be multiple guitars that you're like, well, how do you play that? But that's an interesting sort of puzzle to solve. And, you know, Valentina's has obviously far more sort of live experience than us. And it's great to have, you know, her sort of perspective on how to take things into the live realm and how to like reinterpret the work. It's like another step on in the work when you're like, okay, but, you know, there's certain tracks that, you know, would be difficult or would be boring sort of live, or, you know, how do you make another version of, and I think Lift You was great in like how we were able to sort of stretch out the time, take out the drop, you know, make it more of a sort of ambient piece. That was really enjoyable. Interpretation. That's the sort of starting points. Nightcat was great.
The Nightcat is so great. It's such a good venue. Joe and I were talking lots about it before, but it's such a cool space, and Melbourne's so great, and such a great alternative scene as well, which the Nightcat really keeps together, I think.
Totally. And playing in the round, I mean, maybe you've already, guys have already spoken about this, but we've done it a number of times in London and Berlin and things, and it's a challenging way to play it, but we really like it. It's like, yeah, as you say, we get to sort of interlock as a band much better in the, playing in the middle of the room and having the audience around you is intense, but it's good.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy vibe. I'd never been in a space like that before, and I think, yeah, you get to connect with it a lot easier because no one's really like left in the back in the same way. You can all actually see and engage with it a lot better and nicer. And I think more spaces should have a stage in the middle of it. That's so much better. But you guys are kind of in between touring at the moment. But what are you kind of next working on? What's next for Moyne?
We got a show this weekend. We're still doing shows really up until about December. So we've still got sort of bits and pieces hopefully off to the US. So we're pretty busy on the live side really for the next few months. And then I think once that's done, and obviously getting into winter, we'll start to think about going back and into the recording space. I think winter's always, like, it's traditionally, for us, it's always been a time, like December, January has always been like, it's pretty grim here. I don't know what it's like there, but here it's pretty rough.
So
close the door, you know, you don't need to go outside. So it's a good time to kind of get the head down and get back into the creative space, I think. So yeah, that's the rough timeline. Who knows how it'll pan out.
Exciting. Oh, well, it's been so great talking to you both. Thanks so much for hopping on the phone. And yeah, no, it's such a pleasure. Thank you.
No, thanks so much for asking us. We really appreciate it. And all the kind words and the support. Like, it's always, you know, really gratefully received.
I just want to say I really appreciate this because nobody ever asks to use my voice for a track. To read in a time of war, to read it again. Think about it, to read it aloud, to record it, to try again, to listen back, to send and unsend. To worry about getting old, to feel old, to remember I felt older before. To have experienced so much love, to have resisted, to be bitter, to think of you. Feel your mood like the weather, to not let it affect me anymore. To not let it affect me anymore. To feel angry, to know what you're talking about. To fear being taken advantage of. Fear being used, to fear being poor forever, to fear ending up on the other side of the border, to fear imprisonment, to fear detention, to fear witch hunters and their generals, to know what will happen to the people I love, to know it could happen to me, to want to flee precarity and create a structure for thinking about you and me. Draw the outline of your figure in my mind. To want to lift you. To want to lift you in grace out of gravity. To roll a smoke. To look at my phone. To blow out the smoke. To glance up. To have a bad view. And try and show you, to be told it isn't clear, to feel like a failure to stop trying, to feel like a failure to stop trying, to change the subject, to prefer not to talk, to laugh, to joke, to ask some new friends, an old question that's been bothering me. Do you believe one can love unconditionally? To hide, to want to talk, to die of pride. To want to run, to want to hide, to want to talk, to die of pride.